Happy Mother's Day. We're glad that you're with us for worship this morning. Before we get started, please let me make a few announcements. First, today there will be a Mother's Day concert here in the Worship Center at 3 p.m. put on by Gainesville Community Band, and it does benefit Trinity's Sunlight Band and Choir. So you're encouraged to come back at 3 o'clock here in the Worship Center for a concert by the Gainesville Community Band. Also wanted to remind everyone that next Saturday from 8 to noon out here in our parking lot, Saturday, May 14th, we'll be having our church-wide yard sale. This does go to support our missions department. So $25 gets you a space and two tables to put out your stuff. You're encouraged to come and join us for that. And then finally, I wanted to make a reminder about the Johnson celebration that we are going to have on June 4th, Saturday, June 4th at 11 o'clock here in the Worship Center, followed by a barbecue picnic at noon. And we want you to RSVP if you plan to come to this event so that we can get our number right for the caterers. And also, we have some significant rentals to make in terms of tents and tables and chairs. So we want to make sure we have a good number. We have about 600 people that have RSVP'd so far, but we know that there are more. So please, if you plan to come to this, go to trinitygnv.org/Johnson Celebration. There you can RSVP. You can also sign up to volunteer. There's going to be a lot of effort to get ready for this event. So if you want to help us out, you can volunteer. And then you can also make a monetary donation, which goes to help support this celebration, but more importantly, also towards Reverend Johnson's gift and to different charities that he's selected. We'll be making in his honor. So please take care of that for us. We would appreciate it very much. Inside your bulletin, you'll find a Connect card, and we'd appreciate it if you would take a moment during the service today to fill out the information that we're asking for there. If you're a longtime member and here, we want to know that. And if you're a first-time guest today, we want to know that as well. Please stop by and ask any of us or the hospitality team questions about our church. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. Time now for our mission box, and this morning we have Dr. Tim Conway with us from the Einstein School to tell us more about that organization.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Dr. Tim Conway. I'm a local Gator, neuropsychologist, and dad. I'm here to talk to you about the Einstein School. It's a 501c3 nonprofit charter school for kids, only children who have learning disabilities. Reading, spelling, writing, language problems. You may be surprised to find out that today the statistics are 1 out of 5 children struggle with reading and spelling. We have better methods of identification, and more importantly, we have better methods of actual treatment. And as Mother's Day is an appropriate day to talk about this, because so many moms advocate for their kids, advocate to make sure they can read, because we know reading is a critical skill. So we appreciate the community support. We'd love to share more with you about the school. If you just go to einsteinschool.us, there's lots of information about how we empower the kids, get them on grade level, and our goal is to get them back to the public school so they can go on to regular classrooms and to be just like the other kids and have a great educational experience. Thanks for your time, and have a great Mother's Day.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Conway. And so please give generously at any of the 5 Mission Box locations you find as you leave this morning. Stop by and ask Dr. Conway some questions after the service. He's got a table outside. So those are our announcements. That's our Mission Box. Time now for this tradition that we have here at Trinity. We hope that everyone comes to feel this way about our church. But welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together. while we are standing as an act of worship, let us declare our faith together using this statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brian Wichstruck, our Assistant Children's Ministry Director, is going to introduce our family for baptism.
We're thrilled to invite the Carter family to come forward to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with their three lovely children. We have cousins, acolytes.
Oh, yeah, all the family come up. Good deal. Now, Kate, right? You've been involved in the children's ministry in some form or other. Haven't? For a long time? Hand her that mic, would you?
I was in youth group 20 years ago.
Wow. And what do you do in the children's ministry?
On Sundays, I work in the nursery. And get to love babies. Since I'm done having babies, I just get to love other people.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I hear such great things about that area, so thanks for all you do there. You see some? Oh, is that you? Are all three being baptized?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Aaron, would you pray over the water?
Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we pray that you pour out your Spirit on this gift of water and these children who receive it. Pour out your abundant love, your unfailing grace upon them as they grow into the men and women that you created them to be, followers of Jesus in this world. In his name we pray.
Amen. And Grandma, you've been in the children's ministry for a long time too, haven't you? Stepping stones and years. Let me ask you, parents, do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? Do you promise as God gives you grace and strength to rear your children under the ministry of the church so they can come to know God through his Son Jesus, will you? All right. And Timmy? Hey, Timmy, come on back. Back here, yeah. Timmy, do you want to be baptized first? Do you? Okay. Timothy Scott Carter.
Yes, I present Timothy Scott Carter.
I baptize you, Timothy Scott Carter, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. Amen. Thank you, Timothy. Who's next?
I present Caroline Louise Carter.
Caroline Louise Carter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. And this is?
I present Abigail Rose Carter.
Abigail Rose Carter, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you always. Now, Timothy and Abigail and Caroline, would you step up here with me to the top? Timothy, come on up here with me, would you? These are our newest baptized members of our church. Would you greet them all? Yeah. Good job. Wow. Handsome. Good picture. The folks want to say these words to you all. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education, and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Are they going to walk? We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, but while we're doing that, stand and wish everybody around you a happy Mom's Day. Okay? Happy Mother's Day while they come. Walk down with them.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong, and you'll serve Him all night long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
All right, you may be seated. We are going to continue in worship in prayer, sharing our joys and concerns. You'll see the names of those listed who are in the hospital and rehab that we are visiting through our care team. If you or a loved one would like visitation, please make sure to let us know. You can call me anytime during the week. Talk to me after worship. Put it on your Connect card. Call the front office. But please do let us know. It is the only way we will have an awareness that they are in the hospital or rehab. I also want to point out that we want to remember all those who are grieving, but especially the Miller family. Louise Miller passed into eternity this past Sunday. Her son Larry was present with her, and her funeral services will be in Pennsylvania. And we want to surround that family with prayer. And we also want to remember our ASP team. I believe we have a picture. This is the mighty ASP Spring Mission Team. They were doing home repair and building up in the Appalachian Mountains this past week. And we give thanks for their faithful service. They go every year up to the same area to help those who need it the most with home repairs and home projects. We also want to remember in prayer our general conference. They will be meeting this week. Delegates from all over the world are gathering to pray and discern and make decisions about what is going to guide the United Methodist Church for the coming 4 years. And so we want to pray blessings around that time and all those who are present. In honor of all of our mothers and those who are like mothers in our lives, we're actually going to begin our prayer time with a video, which will run, and then we will add our prayers to that. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we add our amen for those prayers that have been offered and add our gratitude for the gift of motherhood. Thank you for all the mothers and those who are like mothers in our lives. Bless them for the ways they so generously display your character and encourage all those who are weary and in need of your unfailing grace. We lift up all who are in need of your healing. May your grace sustain those whose journey is difficult and heal those who are in greatest need of your peace as they journey towards well-being and wholeness in Christ. Holy Spirit, guide all who are present this week at the General Conference for United Methodist Church worldwide. May all who are representing our church remain humbly attuned to the ways you are leading this conference. And may the decisions rendered reflect your heart's desire for us all as we seek to continually respond to your grace as agents of your kingdom for the salvation and the transformation of the world. We thank you for our ASP mission team and all who have sought to faithfully serve you with their time and talents and gifts this week. Pour out your Spirit on all of us so that we may increasingly magnify your glory as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have now the opportunity to worship God with our offering, and so I'd like to invite the ushers to please come forward at this time. As members of Trinity, we covenant together to combine the resources of what God has given us. We give in proportion to what God has given us, and so let us pray together now. God, you are the giver of every good thing in our lives, and as we give back to you now from what you first gave to us, we pray that you multiply these gifts, our tithes and offerings, for the good of your kingdom and the work through this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful. Thank you, Janet and Aaron. I usually have trouble getting Aaron's name right. It's Aaron Culverson, not Aaron Copeland, but Aaron Culverson. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. We just got a text that the Trinity bus driver broke down over at the village, which means none of the village folks are here, I guess, this morning. But Bill... Oh, I guess some of you are. All right, but Bill's going to go take care of it, right, Donna? All right. Hey, Tom and Marsha Wallace gave me this nice shirt this morning. They said they knew my favorite passage was Isaiah 40:31, that you will soar on wings like eagles, which was kind of a neat. And then at the bottom it says, so now go ahead and fly far away. It didn't say that. Some of you might want to put that in there, but it's a good excuse to say, next week is Pentecost, and that may be my shirt for next Sunday because it's bright red, and we invite you to consider wearing red next week. Today I want to talk about the wonder and the importance of the cross of Jesus, which in my estimation is about the kindness of God, not the wrath of God, but the kindness of God, and then celebrate mothers. I want you to think about your mother. So the title is Mother's Mystery and Messiah, and Messiah is the Hebrew word that's in Greek is Christos, or Christ. And I thought of Mother's Mystery in Christ, but the alliteration is better this way, so I need to explain that. Mother's Mystery and Messiah. And I want to talk about the importance of the cross and the kindness of God and how, in many ways, how our mothers raised us is a hint of, in God's design, is to be a hint of our relationship with God and what God has done for us. I'll talk more about that. On the way to see Bunny Campbell this past Friday, I was down at the North Florida Regional Hospital, and I saw this mother duck and these little ducklings that were walking by, and I think we have a... There we go. So, Kate, that's how it'll be for the next 4 or 5 years, except Timothy. and then they'll go, as you want them to, off on their own, which is part of what we want to do with our children, to have them fly on their own. So here's the scripture, and it's from Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 66 brackets Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is this sort of holy of holies of the book of Isaiah. And on the brackets are the role of the mom, mother. So, but Zion said, or Jerusalem said, because they're in exile now, they said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. And God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Even if that were possible, though she may forget, I will not forget you, says God. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. You are my people. And then, as I say, the Holy of Holies. And this is what we call the suffering servant of Israel. And it's important. I hope you know that I always try to do this. It's important to maintain the integrity of the Hebrew Bible. And I think Isaiah, when he wrote this, was thinking about the role of Israel as a suffering people who suffered more, perhaps, than any other people in the world. And somehow it was redemptive suffering. We don't understand that fully. That's a mystery. But we also know that the nature of the Word of God is it's expansive. And so we Christians not only acknowledge that, but we believe this refers to Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and what He did for us. And so surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. And I stumbled over this next verse for a while until I realized, yet we considered Him punished by God. That is to say, we thought He was punished by God because that's what we believe when somebody suffered. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. That's not really what was going on. We considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted, but He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So I want to talk to you today about that you always look at this cross and remember the kindness of God, how God took on Himself our pain, our suffering, our sorrows, and the evil of the world, and absorbed it into Himself. The costly, amazing kindness of God in Isaiah 53, bracketed by these allusions to God as like a mother. And as you think about your mom, how moms lay down their life for their children in childbirth. The first service, Stephen Belzer was in there because the baptism was from Marriage and More. And Stephen was so moved by the service, he said, you know, on the way out, he said, when I was being carried by my mom in her womb, she was diagnosed with cancer. But she would not take the cancer treatment until after I was given birth. Laid down her own life. And eventually, she took the treatments, but she died of cancer. So you can get a feeling of this. How moms birth us, how moms worry about us, how they pray for us, how they sacrifice for us, how they set aside their own agendas. Some of my reflections this week in Isaiah 53. I also preached this past Tuesday at the Asbury Seminary, Theological Seminary, at their board meeting. And Jan and I flew up to the board meeting, and we flew on Allegiant, and Allegiant only flies certain days. And so Jan flew up Sunday night with me and flew back Tuesday night so she could be here for alert. But my flight didn't come back until Thursday. So the board meeting was over Wednesday at noon, and so I rented a car and drove back up to the my hometown, but a big metropolis of Mingo, Ohio, which has 90 people in it. And we grew up outside that. And I know many of you won't relate to this, but there's only a narrow window in Ohio and Michigan and Iowa and Illinois where you can hunt mushrooms, morel mushrooms. The last few days of April and the first few days of May, and I hadn't done it in 30 years, so I said to my brother, hey, I'm coming up. I want to go mushroom hunting. So we did, and we found 6 mushrooms, which was better than finding none. And then, growing up, Mom made mushroom gravy, and my brother's wife fixed fried mushrooms. It was really a neat time. We found these mushrooms in one field, or woods, and then we went to another one behind the house where I grew up. Now, in the meantime, we moved away from that house to the original farm that was founded in 1805, of which we still have a part of that. And when we got to the place where I grew up, we went to the woods. I found a couple more. There was a pond back there that we had spent some time on. And then I told my brother, look, I haven't been here in 30 years. Don't wander off. I may get lost. But he wandered off, and I got lost. That's how brothers are, I guess. At any rate, I found my way back finally. We went to the house. He said, let's see if this house is open. Lo and behold, the house where I grew up, the door opened, and there was nobody in there. It was empty. And we walked through the house I grew up in. Have you ever done that? It's amazing, isn't it? How small it feels. And I got into the first back porch area, the mud room. And, wow, just all these memories. And I want you to sort of have some memories, too, of your own mom. And then went to the kitchen, and there it was like Mom was right there. Swiss steak and potatoes and gravy and the iced tea and all of these things came back to me. And where we could sit and I could tell her anything. And then the dining room where they converted into a study room because they felt like education was so important. And then the living room where we had a TV, and I remember when Bonanza came on in color for the first time. You remember that? And then, isn't it great to get old and just reminisce, you know? All right. And then the chicken house outside, and the barn where Mom helped Dad milk the cows until we got old enough. And I remember one time when we throw silage out of the silo down into a cart below, and then we would take the cart and wheel it down and feed the cows in the manger there. And I noticed that the smaller cows would sometimes get there first, and the big bully cows would come push them away and then take all the food. And I wrote an Upper Room article about that when I was about 10 years old, because I said how people are like cows. And no, it's true. Yes, you are. But they didn't publish it. So every time they publish one of mine now, which is probably 20 of them, I just think back, you know, you really missed it when I was a kid. So, any rate, let me think here. But I remember... that I never knew my own mom's mom. She literally laid down her life for my mom, because in that day and age, if you got phlebitis after childbirth, as she did, the clot went to her lung, and she died when Mom was 3 months old. The danger and risk that moms took and still take in giving life. And you see, these things remind me of how God laid down His life. And I want us to see that today, and I'm going to tell you a story you've heard from me before, but I want you to hear it anyway. And it's about my 4-H lamb, and this is the last time I'll tell you this story. But I'm just still seeing new insights from it. But I was 10 years old, 11 years old, and I was in 4-H, and I put this lamb up to wash it on a stand and strap its neck in this place, and you're washing it. And I mentioned this story in Titusville. And I asked the congregation, I said, do you know how you wash a lamb? And somebody yelled out, with woolite. We had smart alecks there, too. any rate, and then for some reason, I can't explain it, but I walked away from that sheep. I don't know, I had lunch, I did an errand, I don't know what, and I came back. You know what happened? The sheep fell off and strangled itself. I was devastated. And I didn't know what my mom and dad would do to me. But they hugged me. When I knew they could have beaten me, they could have been, they had every reason. But what they did, they forgave me. They took my suffering into themselves. And they took the cost of the sheep, which we were poor, into themselves. And what I realized, as I look back on that, it changed the way I looked at God. And it's affected the way I parented. I hope so, Darren. And it changed the way I pastor. And how we view God. And I shared this story at Asbury Seminary, and Jan said she noticed an attorney friend of ours who let us use their place in the San Juan Islands. He's an attorney in Seattle. Tears coming down his cheeks. And he came up to me later that night at dinner. He says, that story was so moving to me. I said, tell me. He said, I could only think back when I was that age, if that would have happened in my home, it would have been a whole different scenario. I said, how did you get past that? How did you come to a holistic view of God? He said he went to a youth camp, and they gave an altar call. And he went outside, and he looked up at the heavens, and somehow he sensed God saying, I'll be your father. And he felt the kindness, the love of God. But one of the persons who receives my daily scripture email, and I wrote this story in there this week, he wrote and said, Dan, you've got to get over, you've got to let go of the pain of that story. And I wrote back and said, I've let go of the pain of that story. I hope I never let go of the learning of that story about the kindness of God. And so you see, as you well know, if you've been around here very long, I don't see the wrath of God. How could I with parents like that? And so when I see the cross, I see the kindness of God. And I hope you do too. For in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, the incomparable riches of God's grace are shown in the kindness of Christ Jesus. Now, lest you think our parents were soft, that wasn't the only story I could tell you. Out in that pond where we found two mushrooms behind the house, we would go fishing there. We could do things. But Mom and Dad said, you cannot go out there alone, and you cannot get in that rowboat alone. But three of us boys went out and got in the rowboat when we weren't supposed to. I don't know how parents find out about these things, do you? And they found out about it, and they had told us there would be consequences. And that's the only time my dad gave me a whipping. And as I look in his face, it is true. It hurt him more than it hurt him as much as it hurt me. And again, I think of this verse. He bore our, they knew of other drownings, and so they didn't want us to do that. It's the only time Dad ever spanked me. My mom, on the other hand, oh, maybe two or three times. I'm sure I deserve them each time. Mom would say to us when we get in a fight, she said, if you're going to fight, you go outside. Oh, your mom said that too. You know, it's funny how when you take away the audience, that just dissipates the energy around the fighting, doesn't it? And I thought about the news media. If they would just not report on every horrible detail, it might take some of the energy away from some of our politicians. I think of the field down by the bottom of the house, 5 acres. Dad piled it under so he could put a ball field in and just absorb the cost. Or the pond between the house and the barn that Mom always worried about us. And when it froze over, we would play hockey and we would play pots and geese. But Dad always tested the ice before we got on it. And one time he fell in and we had a good laugh about it. He got all wet. And I thought of Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Or Jesus, who is not like that high priest who is far off, but is one of us, tempted in every way that we are. And so I connected the dots. And so you, or you will. You see, many of us here, most of us here, maybe all of us here, were given a pathway or a springboard to believing in God and in the cross and in God giving Himself for us because our parents gave. And I saw it in Jan when Siobhan was near death's door and poured her life in there. And I see it in other moms when they run their kids this way and that way and set their own agenda aside so that their kids can have life and things without, and always asking, do I need this? And is this for them? And when they hurt, they take the pain. In Christ Jesus, God shared the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us. You may remember, some of you were here last week, I mentioned about the Greek word Christos means kindness. Very similar to Christos, has an E instead of an I, an eta instead of an iota. Christos means kindness. Christos means Christ. I have a feeling there's a play on that. And I looked at various passages that referred to His kindness, but I wasn't prepared to find it in Matthew 11, 28-30. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is Christos. My yoke is kindness, as it's intended to be. And here's the deal. Because of what Jesus did for us in the cross, His yoke is kindness to us. And is easy. It's light. And He invites us in to this relationship. I'm almost done. I'm also glad to share with you that Mom and Dad had card parties and they went on trips once we were old enough to sort of take care of ourselves. Because sometimes parents, moms, can get so sacrificial that you deny yourself too much. You have to find that balance. That there's rest, celebration, and remembering. I'm also finally thinking of moms who weren't my actual mom, but were like moms to me. Mrs. Heidi, who taught ninth grade Latin, and I opened up my National Geographic to do a study on Rome, and it's like the windows of heaven open, and I wanted to travel from then on. And Mrs. Benoon, who had one eye that went off in the wrong direction, and some of the kids made fun of her, but we loved her as a chemistry teacher and a physics teacher, and she prepared us. Mrs. Boyle, my Sunday school teacher, and you have them too. And moms here in this church, I can't begin to name them all, but I've loved seeing your mom's pictures on Facebook. I'll mention three. Barbara Finlayson, many of you know, on the building committee from day one, a Renaissance woman, new architecture, new fine arts. Her handprint is on every angle of this, all the buildings in this place. She also studied at the Cordon Bleu in Paris and helped start the School of Culinary Arts in Eastside. I think of Bob and Margaret Jones, sort of mom and dad of Trinity, always willing to do whatever. And then finally, Bunny Campbell. Bunny was one of our charter members. She's in rehab now, but very, very, very weak. Lost her daughter a number of years ago, she and Doug. And I invite your prayers for Bunny. I close with portions of two songs, Boys to Men, 1997. A song for Mama, You Taught Me Everything, and everything You've given me, I always keep inside. You're the driving force in my life. You were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, You were always there to comfort me. There were so many times looking back when I was so afraid, and then You came to me, and You say to me, I can face anything. never going to go a day without you. Fills me up just thinking about you. I'll never go a day without you, Mama. And you're thinking of God, I trust, as well. And then finally, Garth Brooks' song a couple years ago. The end of his song, God is talking to a baby who's about to be born into the new world, and the baby's not sure wants to go down there, and so he says, don't worry, you're going to be taken care of by a mama. You'll never have a better friend or a warmer touch to tuck you in. She'll kiss your bruises, your bangs and scrapes, and anytime you're hurt, her heart's going to break. And when she's talking to you, make sure you listen close, because she's going to teach you everything you'll ever need to know. She'll put you on the path that will bring you back to me. Pray with me, will you? God, we are flooded with memories of moms, some who left us too soon, but who have imprinted us always, not perfectly, but wonderfully, wherein there lay kindness in mom and dad. May it be a springboard to our understanding of you and your work on the cross, where you took my pain and my sorrow and my waywardness and, yes, the evil of the world into yourself, so that your yoke might rest easily upon our shoulders. We give you thanks to Mom. Amen. We need several of you, if you would, help us with serving communion. While you go to your stations, if you would, I share with all of you, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Pray with me, would you? God, pour out your spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world your hands and feet. Make us one with you, one with one another, and one with all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you to come, whether you're a member of this church or new or whatever, you need nourishment on the way, so come and receive as Alice leads us in our closing song. our friends finish here, would you stand and take somebody's hand and receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Trust him.